Service continues on page 319 with penitential order, right one. Bless the Lord who forgiveth all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought,
word, and deed, by what we have done,
and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved thee with our heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent.
For the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
That we may delight in thy will
and walk in thy ways
to the glory of thy name.
Amen.
The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son Jesus Christ came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for this morning is Psalm 32. It can be found on the insert. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven,
and whose sins put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt,
and in whose spirit there is no guile.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away,
because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night.
My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord."
Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble.
You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go.
I will guide you with my eye.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding.
You must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stand near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord.
Shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ministers, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them a parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that belongs to me." So he divided the property between them. A few days later, his youngest had gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country. There he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout all the country. He began to be in need, so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country. We sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father's. But while he was still far off, the father saw him and he was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and again before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring me out a robe and the best one and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine who is dead is alive again. He was lost and is found," and he began to celebrate. And his elder son was in the field. When he came and approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked him what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come home and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he's got it back and safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. The father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered the father, "Listen, for these years I have been working like a slave for you. I've never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours coming back, who has denounced your property, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." And the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because the brother of yours was dead and come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I just finished reading the book, or hearing the book on tape, of Island of Sea Women. And if you haven't heard anything about it, it's a fairly current book, and it's written about an island that is part of South Korea. And it starts during the Japanese occupation, and then goes to World War II, and then to when the Americans come, and Americans, of course, are trying to reunite the North and South and get rid of communism. But during that period of time, the people who were living on the island of Jeju were experiencing not only the communism, but all sorts of uprising and rebellion. And at one point, it's called 3-4, on March 4th of 1948, 30,000 to 40,000 people were massacred, innocent people massacred. And the woman who is the story is about is telling what's happening now and what was happening then. And so she lost several family members in this massacre. She witnessed the death, the murder of her family members. For the next 50 years, it was illegal to talk about it or to write about it. You could be imprisoned or killed if you talked about it or wrote about it. And then they had a law that was called guilt by association. If a family member had been killed, you were considered guilty by association of being some sort of a collaborator or a rebeller. And so you couldn't get a job, you couldn't go to school. There was a stain on your family history for 50 years. It was in 1998 that they lifted that law, and then that island of Jeju became the island of international world peace. They built an international peace center on that island and told people that it was time to reconcile. Because of these laws of 50 years and because of the massacres of 10% of the population, they said it's time to get past that. And so the man who was speaking at the opening said to the people, the ancestors, the descendants, who can name a death that was not tragic? Is there a way for us to find meanings in the losses we suffered? Who can say that one soul has a heavier grievance than another? We were all victims. We need to forgive each other. And when I heard that story, I thought, I'm not sure I could ever forgive somebody who had killed an innocent family member in cold blood, purposefully. I'm not sure I could forgive someone who hurt a family member who was innocent. I'm not sure I could forgive somebody who hurt me purposefully. I'm not sure I could forgive somebody who has betrayed me purposefully or not purposefully. I'm not sure I can forgive anybody who has hurt me or someone that I've loved. In the season of Lent, we're invited to go into the wilderness and to look at all those things that get in our way of our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with God. And I think we've talked a lot over the past couple of weeks about sin and how sin has weighed us down. But I think there's another part to that, another part where we hold grudges, where we judge others, where we find things unforgivable that also keep us from reconciling our lives with God. All the readings today point to how we find freedom, how we find happiness. Psalm 32 says, "Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away." And it starts with that and talks about the weight of sin and about the wicked will get their judgment. But our role is to be free of sin. Joshua 5:9 talks to the people who are about to enter and as they enter the promised land. And it says, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, the disgrace of being wandering in the desert. For all the sins that you've done, that has all been wiped away." And it says, "The manna stopped on the day that they then got produce from their land, the promised land." It talks about the freedom that they found when all that disgrace had been washed away. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 18 takes it a step further. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. You see, God reconciled to us, brought us his Son, who died for us, and is inviting us to do the same, inviting us to that ministry of reconciliation. So today in the gospel, we have the story of the prodigal son, which many of you know very well. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger son came to him and said, "Dad, I want my inheritance now." And the father gave him half of everything he had. And it said a few days later, he packed up and he went into the city and lived in dissolute living. Doesn't describe what that is, but we can imagine dissolute living that goes through your life savings like that. And then there was a famine in the land. And he became so hungry that he became a servant and went out and cared for the pigs. And if we think for just a second what they would have thought, that unclean pig, and he was willing to feed the pigs and to covet the food that they were getting, the pods. He was saying, "I am so hungry I could even eat the pods." And then he came back into himself. And he said, "Even my father's hired hands eat better than this. So I will humble myself. I will go back to my father and tell him I'm not worthy to be his son and work for him as a hired hand." And the story continues that before he even gets home, his father sees him from afar, and his father runs to him and embraces him. And as the son's trying to get out the story, "Father, I'm a sinner and I'm not worthy and I'm willing to be a hired hand," his father is shouting, "Bring a robe, bring the ring, kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party because my son was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found." And so as the party is going on and they're celebrating this great reconciliation, the older brother is coming in from the field and he hears the music and the party and he's like, "What's going on?" "Well, your brother's home and we're celebrating. Your father killed the fatted calf." And so he says, "Well, I'm not going in there." The father goes to him and he complains about his brother. And he says, "You know, you never even gave me like a small goat to party with my friends, and I've worked for you all these years." And the father says, "Everything I have is yours. Everything. But this one was lost and now is found. He was dead and is now alive to us." Remember last week how the story started? Last week it was the disciples said, "Did you hear about those Galileans who were sacrificing, and Pilate was mingling the blood of the Galileans with the sacrifice?" And Jesus said, "Well, are they worse sinners than any other Galilean?" And he said, "How about that Tower of Siloam that fell and killed the 18? Were they any worse sinners?" And we really wrestled with, well, maybe, no, well, we don't know. But then he immediately went into the parable of the fig tree. And who's producing fruit and who's not, and that he had given us 3 years, and the gardener said, "Give me another year. I'll dig around the roots. I'll give it nutrients." Today's story starts with Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners, sharing a meal with tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees started complaining and saying, "Do you see what he's doing? He must not know who they are. They're tax collectors and sinners." And I think about the older brother and I think about us, how self-righteous and judgmental we might be about those people. And immediately Jesus gives us the parable about tax collectors and sinners, the younger son who demanded his inheritance and lost it all in dissolute living, and yet the father embraced him. And about the older brother who just couldn't get over it. And yet the father embraced him as well. These stories keep giving us ideas of where we might be running into trouble with living a full life. And when I hear the story about the father seeing the son from far off, running to him, showing his love, showing mercy, offering grace. And I thought about when I preached in Epiphany and said, If we only knew the depth of the Father's love, that he gave us his infant son to care for. How much we are loved. Romans 5:8. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think about when I hold a resentment, a grudge, a grievance, envy, jealousy, the list goes on and on and on, and I hold on to it for dear life. I'm not going to let go of it because it's mine. And I think about that bottle of poison that I'm holding, and every time I think about it and hold that grudge, I'm taking another sip. And it's not hurting the other person that I have a grudge against one little bit, but it's killing me. And I think about what would it take for me to forgive those people who have wronged me or the ones I love? And really, the only answer is God's grace, God's mercy, God's love can open up that hand so we can let go. I think about scripture that says if you have a grievance against anyone before you offer your gifts at the table, go meet with them, reconcile, because only then can you freely come to the table. And so today, as we're praying, before we pass the peace, I invite you to think about those people or those things that you might have a little grudge or accusation or envy or jealousy. I want you to think about this season of Lent where you're invited to get rid of every obstacle that keeps you fully from the love of God. I invite you during the peace to make peace with yourself, with God, with others, so that when you offer your gifts and come to this table, you can fully participate in the foretaste of heaven that we have here today. It's not easy. I don't know why we get such satisfaction in holding those grudges, but it's only hurting us. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and join with me in saying the Nicene Creed found on page 326 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 326. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from the true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and his Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the People can be found on page 328 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 328. The response this morning is, Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church in the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and ministers, especially Lynn and Gary, our priests, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we beseech thee also to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of the government, in this and every land, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those in who in
yeah.
And for all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace so to follow the good examples of Saint James and all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Couple of announcements. Greg has graciously offered to continue the AED training. He'll be in the Sunday school room if you want more practice, or if you missed it last week and would, or if you were here last week and want a refresher. Anyway, he'll be in the Sunday school room with Annie and the tester. And please, if you're interested in learning how to operate the AED safely, meet with Greg. No operating unsafely. Lots of discipleship opportunities here. There are Easter eggs downstairs, plastic ones that have slips of paper for personal care items for the food pantry. If you could take a few of those and bring them back sometime in the next few weeks, that would be great. And we have a vestry retreat on Saturday, so I invite your prayers as the vestry continues to meet and work and see what we can do to continue to keep this a healthy and thriving congregation. Are there other announcements? Way in the back. All right, so Marietta said she has materials about a Rise and Shine closet where if you wish to donate items, they'd gladly accept them. If you know people who are in need of clothing, it will be given away free. So she has information about that. And today is their 40th anniversary. They gave 40 items to give to the food pantry, and she challenges everybody else to do either their years of life or years of marriage or some other number to meet the challenge that they set. Yeah, and Leah's saying, no way. Donna. Kids clothing. So it's not adult clothing? Any sizes, but they need a newborn through 16 as well. So kids and adult clothing. Other announcements.
I'd like to ask everyone to remember in prayer two of our people who died this week, Mike Moretti and Bert Schreiber.
May their souls rest in peace. Other announcements. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Eucharistic Prayer 1 continues on page 333 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 333. The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is in every way tempted as we are, yet did not sin, by whose grace we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, glory be to thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for that thou of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made thereby his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. And it institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Lord and Heavenly Father, according to the institution of thy dearly beloved Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, we, thy humble servants, do celebrate and make here before thy divine majesty with these thy holy gifts, which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make, having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, rendering unto thee most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits procured unto us by the same. And we most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and of thy almighty goodness vouchsafe to bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these thy gifts and creatures of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And although we are unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, Yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses through Jesus Christ our Lord. By whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. I invite you to continue saying with us on page 337 the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord,
trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercy, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. Communion prayer can be found on page 339 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God,
we most heartily thank thee for that thou hast feed us in these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And dost assure us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom. And
we humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory,
world without end. Amen.
Bow down your heads before the Lord. Look down in mercy, Lord, on your people who kneel before you, and grant that those whom you have nourished by your word and sacraments may bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, through Christ our Lord. Amen.